Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Parijakacharya, Ashtatashat, Sri Srimad. Shlesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Being, text number 19. Please repeat after me. Asantustasya viprasya. Asantustasya viprasya tejo vidya tapoyasa tejo vidya tapoyasa shravanantindriya laulyena Sravantindriya laulyena Gnanam chaiva vakiryate Gnanam chaiva vakiryate Asantustasya viprasya Tejo vidya tapoyasa Shravanti indriya laulyena Gnanam chaiva vakiryate
Mataji's, please.
Word for word meaning asantustasya, of one who is not self-satisfied, viprasya, of such a brahmana, tejaha, strength, vidya, education, tapaha, austerity, yashaha, fame, shravanti, dwindle, indriya, of the senses, laulyena, because of greed, jnanam, knowledge, cha, and, eva, certainly, eva kiryate, gradually vanishes. Translation: because of greed, for the sake of the senses, the spiritual strength, education, austerity, and reputation of a devotee or a brahmana who is not self-satisfied dwindle, and his knowledge gradually vanishes. Because of greed, for the sake of the senses, the spiritual strength, education, austerity, and reputation of a devotee or brahmana who is not self-satisfied dwindle, and his knowledge gradually vanishes. There is no purport. So we shall read next verse as well. And there are two more verses related to this topic. So I would read verses up to 22. With the purport, and then we shall discuss what Prabhupada has to say here. So please listen attentively. I may ask some questions after reading. Okay? Very ready. Text number 20. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The strong bodily desires and need of a person, the strong bodily desires and needs of a person disturbed by hunger and thirst are certainly satisfied when he eats. Similarly, if one becomes very angry, the anger is satisfied by chastisement and its reaction. But as for greed, even if a greedy person has conquered all the directions of the world, or has enjoyed everything in the world, still he will not be satisfied. Purport: in Bhagavad Gita 3:37, it is stated that lust, anger, and greed are the causes of the conditioned soul's bondage in this material world. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhavah. When strong lusty desires for sense gratification are unfulfilled, one becomes angry. This anger can be satisfied when one chastises his enemy. But when there is an increase in lobha or greed, which is the greatest enemy caused by rajaguna, the mixed mode of passion, how can one advance in Krishna consciousness? If one is very greedy to enhance his Krishna consciousness, This is a great boon. Tatra loyalyam ekalam mulam. This is the best path available. Text number 21. O King Yudhishthir, many persons with varied experience, many legal advisors, many learned scholars, and many persons eligible to become presidents of learned assemblies fall down into hellish life because of not being satisfied with their possessions. Purport. For spiritual advancement, one should be materially satisfied. For if one is not materially satisfied, his greed for material development will result in the frustration of his spiritual advancement. There are two things that nullify all good qualities. One is poverty, daridra dosha guna rasa nasi. If one is poverty stricken, all his good qualities become null and void. Similarly, if one becomes too greedy, his good qualifications are lost. Therefore, the adjustment is that one should not be poverty stricken, but one must try to be fully satisfied with the bare necessities of life and not be greedy. For a devotee to be satisfied with the bare necessities is therefore the best advice for spiritual advancement. Learned authorities in devotional life consequently advises that one not endeavor to increase the number of temples and mathas. Such activities can be undertaken only by devotees experienced in propagating the Krishna consciousness movement. All the acharyas in South India, especially Sri Ramanujacharya, constructed many big temples. And in North India, all the Goswamis of Vrindavan constructed large temples. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also constructed large centers known as Gaudiya Mathas. Therefore, temple construction is not bad, provided proper care is taken for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. Even if such endeavors are considered greedy, the greed is to satisfy Krishna. And therefore, these are spiritual activities. And text number 22. By making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. By discussing disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has suggested how one can conquer lusty desires for sense gratification. One cannot give up thinking of woman, for thinking in this way is natural. Even while walking on the street, one will see so many women. However, if one is determined not to live with woman, even while seeing a woman, he will not become lusty. If one is determined not to have sex, he can automatically conquer lusty desires. The example given in this regard is that even if one is hungry, if on the particular day he is determined to observe fasting, he can naturally conquer the disturbance of hunger and thirst. If one is determined not to be envious of anyone, he can naturally conquer anger. Similarly, one can give up the desires to accumulate wealth simply by considering how difficult it is to protect the money in one's possession. If one keeps a large amount of cash with him, he is always anxious about keeping it properly. Thus, if one discusses the disadvantage of accumulating wealth, he can naturally give up business without difficulty. Om Agyanatimi Dasyaki Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Mlitamina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Budale Shrimate Bhurijan Prabhu Iti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Budale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatayane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So with blessings of all Vaishnavas assembled here, I seek permission to speak and glorify on Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. Since we read a few verses and purport, what did you remember? Any points? What is the main topic here it's been talking about? Greed. Very good. What are the striking points about greed? You cannot control. Very good. No matter how much you feed, it will still be unsatisfied. It will never come to an end. It's so same goes with anger and lust as well. That's why Bhagavad Gita says three gates to hell is lust, anger and greed. But so much stress is given here on greed particularly. What else? Yes, very good point. And that would be the conclusion of this class, by the way. How to deal with greed? There are particular remedies given. Yes, Krishna's salalyam, greedy for Krishna's seva, yeah, to please Krishna. And one more thing, in the last verse we read, discuss, talk about disadvantages of accumulating material wealth. By knowledge, by jnana, one can be determined and can be freed from greedy desires, right? So let's ask a question here. Is accumulating money good or bad? Yes, you should sit here. We need money, isn't it? For our daily maintenance, our family, our relatives, and we have so many obligations. We have to pay mortgage for our health, for our future emergencies. We do money, isn't it? Money is required. Yes, we shall discuss that as well. What is too much and what is less? It is again relative. Yes. So, yes, money is certainly required, isn't it? Anyone say here that I don't need money? There are, once Prabhupada was told by one devotee, you know, he brought one photo of one spiritual leader, and he was posing. There was a pile of money, and then he was posing for photograph, and then he was going like that, you know. This is all Maya, you know, I don't want money, like that. So he showed that photograph to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, you know, you can take photo of me, and I'll go like this, you know. Like, you know, I want all the money, you know, give me. So what is Prabhupada's vision? Prabhupada's vision is, no, this is not Maya. This is Krishna's energy, is Lakshmi Devi. And I shall use this Lakshmi, I shall engage this Lakshmi in service of Lord Narayan. You know, so this is his mood. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions that, you know, so many temples, for example, this gorgeous Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, we offer our services here for our own good. We see it's so opulent, isn't it? This temple is so opulent actually. Daily so many plates of prasadam being served. For no charge, so many devotees, so many well-wishers and so many other people visit here and partake prasadam, right? Restaurants like Karoxves and Gopals, they serve so much prasadam. We do so much outreach program where we serve prasadam and give opportunity people to come and do some seva. Deity worship, for example, is so nicely worshipped. When we have festival especially, we see so nicely they are decorated, whole altar and deities and whole temple, right? If you go around and for example that one vase of flower, it would nearly cost $100. And then if you go in market and ask for, you know, nicely made flower vase, it will cost you $100. Just flowers. So imagine how much money is being used to do nice deity worship here, so our lordships are pleased. Where do that money come from? If we don't have money, can we do that gorgeous deity worship and all the outreach and, you know, Krishna conscious activities program? No, we do need money. So it is certain that money is required in our life, in our normal life. And being devotee, our spiritual life also requires money. So no doubt about that. So here, I'm going to discuss three questions and their answers. First one, how do I know that I have become greedy materially? We are not talking about other people, but in our own Krishna conscious lifestyle, being a devotee, we should check ourselves that am I greedy materially? Am I doing right? Right? So the first question comes, my endeavors are leaning towards greed or am I doing well? So first question, how do I know that I have become greedy materially? Right? Very valid question. Yes or no? Yeah? And then it leads to another question that, okay, whatever I am supposed to do in my regular life, earning money and accumulating and spending and all these things, I can very well justify. We shall discuss the reasons very soon. And I always feel that I don't have enough. Does it sound familiar? Right? I always feel that it's not enough. I should work more. I should earn a little more. I should explore more opportunities and accumulate a little more. Right? So that kind of feeling also comes always, every now and then, that no, it's not enough. So second question then it leads to, that how do I know that I have sufficient and I don't have to endeavor anymore? And stop it there and then maintain that. Right? So that another valid question, isn't it? And then that question leads to further what we have read so far. Someone can conclude that, okay, not having too much, not accumulating too much, and being satisfied with what we have and living simply is the way for devotees. So then one can say, what is that simplicity? What is that simple life? It can be relative. Right? One person is renounced, very well renounced, and it is fine for him. But for other person, that is not his way to live. It is different. If someone is very luxurious, but for other person, it is a way of standard for his living. So it's relative. It's not one statement goes for everyone. So what is simple living? We shall discuss that third question. So let me ask you a question here. Come back to the first question. How do I know that I have become greedy materially? What are the reasons we earn money for? Tell me. Okay. Do you have a house? Do you maintain a house? Okay. Yes, give me some inputs. What are the reasons we earn money for? Pay the bills. See my notes. Long, long notes. Yes, we want to make sure that, you know, my bills are paid. I have my house is nicely heated up, or, you know, in summer it's nicely warmed, and I get supply of water and all the amenities. Yes, to pay the bills, to pay the mortgage. What else? Yes, food. What else? Say loudly. Yes. Roti, kapda, makan. Right? That's all, basically. Food, clothes, and shelter. Flight tickets, yes, why not? Yes? We should put that also in equation. We want to visit, being a devotee, you want to visit dhams every yearly or, you know, once in a 2 year. So we need money for that. What else, Mataji?
Education.
Sorry?
Education.
Education, very good. We want to make sure our children are nicely educated. Comfort, yes, we don't, as I said, you know, not everyone can live very austerely. Someone need comfort. So level of comfort can be different person to person. You know, brahmacharis can sleep on maybe, you know, very mediocre facility given. But grahasthas may require little more comfort, right? So one can adjust, one cannot. Very good. What else? So this all basically comes in one word, one category. Let's say it's called need, right? Need to live. In this world, we have our needs. And basic needs, like... Exactly. So, we want to make sure that our body and soul are together and we are sustained very nicely, so we can sustain our devotional life very nicely. So, yeah, basic needs. But what are the other things that people can be greedy of? Think about now people, not the devotees, but other people. Why they are greedy for? Yes, entertainment,
showing others,
very good. Anything else?
Competition.
For fame, good points. So I have pointed out 6 points why other people become greedy, and some of you have already mentioned those. Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada says 3.37 that lust, greed and anger are 3 gates to hell. In the battle of Kurukshetra, we see Krishna when he was instructing Arjuna. Arjuna said, you know, these Kauravas have become greedy and that's why they are ready to even kill their own family members. Right? So this is the effect of greed. Because of envy, one can be greedy. That's one reason, envy. Then, in the same connection, sense gratification. People want entertainment, people want to have more facilities so they can enjoy more and more. So there is no end to that. You have to satisfy your belly, to satisfy our thirst and hunger, we can have simple food. But no, people have... so many varieties of food they want to experience. Why? Different types of restaurants and different types of food. They want to explore different types of places they want to go. And so many things they want to explore. Just to satisfy their senses in different ways. So sense gratification can be one of the reasons that people are becoming very greedy. Another reason can be fear that in future, what will happen? What if I cannot work and earn money? What if I get accidents? I get diseased in old age? What will I do? So that kind of fear people can have and they want to accumulate more and more. So in future, it can help me. Education also comes in that. No, what about my children's future? So let me accumulate now. But then it can easily become greed, turn into greed. That they don't realize that, you know, they have wasted their life in that pursuit. So fear can be one of the reasons. One mother said, show off. People want to show off. Right? And it's a big thing in India especially, you know. Especially at marriages, if you see. So they want to basically show off that we will do better than that family, you know, that person, you know. And practically they go in debts, take up so much loan and borrow so much money from others, and, you know, then their relationships with the other relatives get sour because they have borrowed money and they cannot repay on time, and so much stress on paying off the loans. So momentarily, they will have that sense of enjoyment and sense of happiness that, you know, oh, we have done so nicely, gorgeously our wedding ceremony. But then it follows with so much distress and anxiety and, you know, broken relationships and all sorts of things. They don't see that. So they just to show off that I am also, you know, very rich person. I can also do that. So show off can be one of the reasons that people become greedy. And one reason is miser. Now, miser doesn't mean that, you know, he just wants to store and accumulate. Miser means he doesn't want to spend. Spend on right thing. Even there is one story in Srimad Bhagavatam where one brahmana, you know, just accumulate. He doesn't want even want to spend on his family's basic needs. So that person is called miser. And for us, actually, you know, it's a very important point. Being a devotee, we should spend for Krishna. If we have that little reservation that, you know, I don't want to spend. It's okay, I'm very calculative, you know. I don't want to spend for, you know, devotees or, you know, deity worship or temple. Then that little miserly attitude is there in us also, we can see that. So being miser also can be a reason to invite greediness. And the last point was a need that we all discuss in the beginning, that yes, needs are there in our life to do a lot of things in our life that we do. So basic needs, roti, kapda, makan, we need. But over-endeavoring on name of, you know, food, shelter and clothes, it can turn into greed. So these are the six reasons. There can be more. So envy, sense gratification, fear, show-off, miserly attitude and need. These are the six reasons one can become greedy. So, am I greedy materially? Why do I need more? Do I need more? So, think about these six aspects we discuss and contemplate and evaluate yourself. That am I falling in one of these traps? If we are, then yes, it's time to check ourselves. These are the reasons. Now, second question, that am I having sufficient? How do I know that I have sufficient? Do I need to endeavor more? Spiritual life and material life, it's a fine balance. One has to learn this art of balancing these two. As I said, one person austerity, it is his austere life, is his lifestyle, but for other person it is not acceptable. And other person living very luxuriously, and for other person it is standard of living. So it's relative. There is one story, you would have heard this before as well. There was one boatman who was in the afternoon taking a nap on the shore of the river. And one rich man comes there, and he was very desperate to go on the other side. So he woke up that boatman sleeping on his boat. And he said, come on, you know, I want to go other side. please take me to the other side of the river. And then boatman woke up and then said, okay, okay. But after half an hour, you have to wait half an hour. Why? You know, because it's time to rest now. It's my time to rest and I'll take you after half an hour. So that person got agitated. That, come on, you know, I'm giving you money and you are boatman, you are here to earn money. And what is this attitude, you know? Wait for half an hour. Customers are always right. Right? You have heard that? Customers are always first. This is what we've been taught. So like that he was preaching to that boatman. But that boatman was, you know, so much relaxed and say whatever you want to say. And then he started to agitate him. That, what are you doing, you know? You are wasting your time, you are wasting your life, you know. Don't you want to become rich like me, you know, so much money I have, so you are such a poor fellow, you know, working hard every day. So that person, in boatman asked in return, that what would I do with money if I earn more and, you know, accumulate more and I become rich, what will I do? So he said, you can do like this, you can enjoy like this and that, you know, he was showing big dream, you know. You can have even many, many boats and so many people can work for you, you know, and then you don't have to work so hard and you can just sit and relax, you know, lie down and relax. And then that boatman replied, you know, that is what I am doing now, you know. Why I have to work so hard to achieve that, you know. To achieve that in the end, I have to go through so much anxiety and hard work and stress and, you know, which is what I am doing already, you know, right now. So what is the logic behind your thing, you know? So this is the thing, that one person endeavors so much in the life, forgetting that actually he is compromising on what he is aiming for. Sri Shopanishad says, in first mantra, it talks about kota, right? So whatever we are supposed to get in our life is actually destined. We are supposed to get anyway. It is based on our karma. So kota, very interestingly, Prabhupada explains, there are different ways Prabhupada explains. One of the way Prabhupada explains that kota for human being is that he has given very developed intelligence. For what? Not for enjoying materially in this material world, but to inquire what his purpose of life, who is he, and why am I suffering and how to get out of it. So purpose of human being, human life, is that he has given that developed intelligence so that he can come out of this material entanglements and go back to Godhead. That is his kota, Prabhupada says. His kota is not like, and then Prabhupada gives example of, you know, his kota is not like fighting like cats and dogs. They use so much intelligence and they have developed nuclear bombs, and what they do with that, they create more and more enemy within the world, right? And the cats and dogs are also fighting, and then these people are also fighting with weapons. So Prabhupada very intelligently explained that fundamentals, that kota for human being is that he has given very developed intelligence. By that intelligence he can go back to Godhead, using that intelligence the right way. Not animals can do that. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are few beautiful verses where it stresses this point. When Trivikram, Lord Trivikram, took a form and then conquered, captured whole three planetary systems from Bali Maharaj, that time even Prahlad Maharaj came to the scene, and then Prahlad Maharaj also offered glorification of what Trivikram did. He acknowledged, yes, you have done it very rightly. You have done very good. It's very good for us. So Trivikram, Lord Trivikram, When Bali Maharaj said, you know, what you want, he said, I just need 3 steps of land. And then Bali Maharaj said, you know, I have everything in my possession, you know, why only 3 steps? I can give you more. So what did Trivikram say? That if I am not satisfied with three steps of land, and then no matter, you know, even if I get 3 worlds, I will not be satisfied. So he was pointing same thing here, right? So the greed is such that even, Prabhupada says, you know, even if person gets everything in the world, if he has enjoyed everything of this world, if greed is there in the heart, one will not be satisfied. So Lord Trivikram was saying same thing there. And I'll read that verse, what Prahlad Maharaj said about material opulence. So Prahlad Maharaj says, this is Canto 8, 22nd chapter, 17th verse. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. So greed is such thing that even learned person, he will forget the goal of self-realization, right? But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by His will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances. So here same thing was discussed. That even great, great people fall down. In pursuit of accumulating more and more, even great people will fall down and they will go in darkest region of hell existence. So for devotee, it is very important that we remain on our purpose. We remain in Krishna consciousness very nicely. We fixed up in Krishna consciousness very nicely. Another verse. From Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is basically answering, am I having sufficient or should I endeavor more, right? In our context as a devotee. So this is from Canto 1, 2nd chapter, 9 and 10. Verses are 9 and 10. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Therefore, according to sages, one who is engaged in ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Life's desire should never be dictated towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be goal of one's work. So here this verse also says that yes, you can earn money and accumulate, but just enough for healthy life and self-preservation, and rest of the time and rest of the money, wealth you have, that is for Krishna consciousness, for your development of spiritual life. So this is the check. This is how we check that am I having sufficient? I should be not endeavoring more and be happy with what I have and what I have got. One can justify, as I said, one can say, you know, well, I need for this. Where to stop? One can say, you know, I need for future emergencies, or I need for my children's education, this and that. But ultimately, one should think that by doing all these activities of earning money, am I compromising my spiritual life? Is my sadhana going well? daily basis what I'm supposed to do, chant my 16 rounds, hear and read, spend some time in hear and reading, visit temple and do some seva on weekly basis or every day. Am I compromising on that? If yes, then yes, you are overboarding. You are going too much towards the greed side. So this is the check one should see. There are symptoms of Saranagati. Yes, fear we have. We all have fear. But there are two symptoms particularly of Saranagati mentioned. That go tripte varnam tatha. That Krishna is our actually maintainer. Krishna will maintain me. This is the aspect of Saranagati. So devotees should have that much faith and understanding and faith in Krishna, that actually Krishna will protect me. Krishna is there, he'll protect me. Just like my child, you know, he was here. You will see him, you know, he would play around so happily, you know, and then when time comes, you know, he will go to sleep, and you know, within, you know, a couple of minutes, he will knock off, you know, and then you see him so happily he is sleeping, right? Why? Because he doesn't have any fear in one sense. You know, he knows my parents are there, you know, my all needs are taken care, you know, I don't have to go and earn money and, you know, accumulate and protect myself. You know, my parents are there. I just have to, you know, raise my hand or voice, you know, that's it, my parents are there. So, I'm not saying we should be childish, but childlike attitude that yes, I'm your child, Lord Krishna, you know, and you are my guardian. You will protect me, I know. All I want is just to serve you. So, this aspect of Saranagati, every devotee should develop, including myself, I'm talking to myself. And avashya rakshibe Krishna, another aspect of Saranagati, that Krishna will protect me. He will maintain me and Krishna will protect me. Whatever fear we might have, health, emergency, accidents, maintenance of life, no, Krishna will protect me. And in our own life, you see and think, you know, was there any time where you were in need of protection, where you were in need of some help? How Krishna helped you? Right, you will definitely come across few incidences in your life till today. That we'll see, Krishna actually comes and helps. And especially for his devotees, he will. No doubt about that. And it's not that only for pure devotees. Of course, for pure devotees, he's always there. But for beginners, sadhaka bhaktas like us also, Krishna is always there. Have that faith. Have that trust. Krishna, as soon as one chants Hare Krishna, Krishna takes his attention towards his that person, that devotee who chanted the holy name. So as soon as one begins sadhana bhakti, you make sure that Krishna is there with you. There is no doubt about that. That much conviction one should have. So even for beginners, sadhakas like us, Krishna is always protecting us. And reciprocation can happen very, very well, very differently, person to person. At least I have seen any devotee in our congregation that is struggling to meet his ends. Have you seen any in our congregation? Right, all the devotees, practical, you know, basic needs are fulfilled very nicely, isn't it? So there is no question that someone can say, you know, I am working hard to meet my ends, basic needs. For my basic needs I am earning. No, every devotee, I haven't seen so far in so many years that some devotees have struggled to get a next meal on his table or struggle to, you know, secure house to live. They are living on the roads. No, I haven't seen. Krishna provides, Krishna protects. But then we think that, you know, whatever I have is not enough. I want to accumulate wealth. I want to work more so I can earn more and, you know, accumulate more. So that we have to check. This is the fine thing. We have to check. Is it going towards greed? Is it really required? One devotee, I remember, and yes, as I mentioned the point, being miser, for example. So we should know that miser is not only accumulating, but he should give as well. And for us, for devotee, it is very much recommended that we give for devotee and for Krishna. We give our money, our wealth for Krishna, Krishna seva. Because mind is very much attached to that money, right? And when that money goes to Krishna, our mind will also go to Krishna. This is the way. And that will purify us. So one devotee was saying that, Prabhu, you know, I give money, whatever I earn and whatever I could spend, I give to devotees and temple, you know, as a donation. But it pinches me afterwards, you know. There is a pinch that, oh, so much hard-earned money, you know, went, you know, like that. And it's very good. It is actually very good. This should happen. So give as much that it pinches you little. And that is purifying, actually. Because then your mind will go towards devotee and Krishna, because money has gone there. So it is very much recommended, very advisable that we should spend. So now, whatever money you have, work out that how much you need for your basic needs, and then rest of the wealth is utilized for Krishna conscious purpose. And taken care, all the things, you know, your future emergencies, children's education, and your basic needs are taken care. So then you will see that you are satisfied, whatever you have is sufficient or not. In that way you can gauge yourself, is it enough or not. In this regard, Devamani Swami, once he was saying in the class, he was talking about Melbourne weather. So always, you know, Melbourne weather is so unpredictable, and most of the time is so uncomfortable, you know, right? It rains and cold wind, and, you know, very shivery feeling all the time you get. So Devamani says, it's good. It's good. It's constantly reminding you that this is the material world and it's not place to live in. So devotee actually voluntarily should keep themselves in actually little uncomfortable position. That's what the point is, basically. If you go towards, you know, comfortable life, then you tend to become more comfortable, and then you tend to become forgetfulness of your purpose of life. So if you keep yourself little uncomfortable, just like that, you know, that devotee saying, you know, it pinches when I donate to devotees and temple, you know, it gives me little pinch after that. So yes, that little uncomfortable situation is good for devotee. And for brahmanas, for vaishnavas, it is recommended that they shouldn't accumulate and make their life so comfortable that they forget Krishna. One should have that fine balance. Not too much uncomfortable, not too much comfort. It's like a horse. Mind is compared to a horse. So how to train your mind? It says, you know, the expert horseman, when he rides the horse, sometime he let it loose, the reins of the horse, he will let it loose. So horse can go and wander here and there, right? But then he will pull back as well when it requires. So horse is under control. So mind is like that. So sometimes you need a little freedom and little area, space to keep your mind little happy and peaceful. But other time you have to pull back. Otherwise, you know, you'll go everywhere. Just like horse can go everywhere and, you know, you can fall down. The horse man can fall down. So mind also has to be treated like that. Sometimes you pull the string, sometimes you let little loose, and like that you balance. So material life and spiritual life is balanced like that. One has to be intelligent and balanced like that. And now that leads to the third question we discuss, that, okay, then does it mean that devotee should live poorly? We hear that simple living and high thinking, like this is the common statement we hear so many times. So what it mean? What it mean to be lives simply? What do you understand? Question for you. What is the meaning? What do you understand that live simply? Yes, that is there. Without showing off, yeah. Satisfied, yeah, whatever you have, satisfied. So one can see that reading so much, you know, and especially in the Shastra, we'll see so much discussion is about renunciation and detachment, right? So how to define simple living? That is the question. Yes. Don't misunderstand that simple living means living poorly. If it is so, then you know the person living on road, houseless, homeless person is more spiritually advanced than us, isn't it? But no, not necessary. Living simply doesn't mean that you live poor life. No. Simple living means life with satisfaction, and you are content with what you have, and you are detached. This is the important one. You are detached from the things what you have right now. This is it means to be live simply. And added, our Goswami's explained that then whatever we have, it has been used for Krishna seva. That is simple living for devotees. So whatever we have, be satisfied with that, and the same thing we use for Krishna seva. That is called simple living. There is a term in architecture, minimalistic architecture, right? So there are different types. So this type is like minimalistic architecture. You have minimum things in the building. So it looks very simple, straightforward. No complex designs and no complex joints and, you know, art and decorations and all these things. Straight things. Simplistic design. So basically, you know, no complexity attached to that. Same way, you know, simple living means one is not entangled more and more in material life. That is what it means to be simple. There is one story, one person, he was living a single life and very simple. In a hut he was living, and nothing he had practically, you know, he was just living in a hut. He had one kopin, loincloth. So one day he saw his kopin was torn. So he thought, what happened? Then he saw one rat running around. He said, my kopin was beaten by this rat. And this is problem, you know. Why, now I don't have any clothes to wear now. What will I do? So he thought, okay, to get rid of this rat, I need cat. So he brought one cat. And then after some time, he said, what will I feed this cat? You know, cat will get hungry. So he thought, I need a cow, so that cow can give milk, and then I'll feed the milk to this cat, and then cat will keep the rat away. Like that he was thinking. Right? But then daily, you know, he had to milk the cow and look after the cow, feed the cow, bathe her, and all these things. So too much work. He said, no, too much work, you know. I think I should get married. If my wife comes, then she will look after this cow, and then, you know, I can be free for what I want to do. So he gets married, and then wife comes. Now wife comes, and then, you know, Of course, you know why it feels, what is this hurt, you know, I need little spacious house, I need another room, I need kitchen, I need groceries to cook something and this and that. So he started, okay. So he started accumulating more, and soon after that, you know, children also came. One child, second child, third child, like that, you know. So they asked for food and they asked for education and so forth. So like that, you know, it was going on and on and on and on. And on. And then one day he sat down and, you know, he's thinking, you know, oh, that was just one rat and one copin, you know, I would have just, you know, used that torn cloth, stitched up and, you know, used it again, you know. And now so much complexity I have put in myself in and attached myself into so many things that, you know, I don't have today enough time for my spiritual pursuits. You know, I feel bound up by these things. So, devotees, do you think we also can be in this situation? We can. We have to be quite vigilant and that, you know, we don't entrap ourselves into all these things, that, you know, our spiritual life, our daily sadhana and our all the precepts, what we are supposed to do as a devotee, get compromised in the pursuit of meeting the needs. What we say, yes, needs are required, but meeting the needs, it can drift us away from the goal of life. So yes, simple living is not just that, you know, you live very poorly, but you live very detached life, very satisfied life with what you have, and engage those things in Krishna's service. That is simple living. So I would conclude our class today. If anyone has any questions, corrections, please do so. Some additions. I hope I have justified the topic greed. Yeah.
Hey Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. Prabhu, you mentioned how greed we can use for Krishna also, and Rupa Goswami also mentions that lolium greed will lead us to Lord Krishna. So I'd like to ask, is that greed for like for services, or is it like for sadhana, for more sadhana? Because we also hear Srimati Radharani's mood is to take everyone to serve Lord Krishna.
Lolium for Krishna, in what way it should be used?
Is that greed for more services, or is it for more sadhana? Because Radharani's mood is like to take everyone to serve Lord Krishna.
Any aspect, whichever aspect gives fulfillment to your heart, any aspect. So those Navvidha Bhakti, there are 9 processes of Bhakti. So one can be greedy to chant more holy name, more and more holy name in his day, and if it gives fulfillment and happiness, pleasure, then go for it. But some devotees will find more pleasure in cooking great feast in kitchen. Then go for that kind of lolium. Do more and more and cook more and more varieties of Krishna and offer to Krishna and devotees. So any aspects of devotional service where you feel attracted and feel natural to increase more, go for it. That lolium. Yeah. Anything else? Yes, Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class. I got a question. You mentioned that living simple doesn't mean that you have to live poorly, but we just need to, we all have needs and we need to satisfy those needs.
Yeah.
So question comes like, where does those need ends? You know, one should be like, one should be happy with the small car, but if he's like a family man, then he need a big car. Or, you know, house and on and on and on. So this need doesn't finish. So what is actually means having a simple life?
Yeah, so this is what we try to discuss today, right? So where should I end? Should I be satisfied with what I have, or should I endeavor more? So thing is, the aspect we discuss, anyone wants to answer what we answered? But that can be also, you know, that can be, it's a very fine. Yes, but there is mood that he also wants to drive that car, right? Little. But devotees don't demand. They are happy to get driven in a simple car, right? Yes, yes. Yes, but what I say, the devotees on the name of, one has to be very careful on that, on the name of serving devotee and Krishna, unknowingly or knowingly even, one is actually fulfilling his own desires. That's fine.
You know your consciousness, why you are getting
ready. Exactly. So that's the thing. Exactly. So that's what I am saying. So my point is, you know, is this genuine desire that, you know, you want to do this for devotees and for Krishna? If there is a tinge of selfishness, there is some self kind of, you know, attached to that, then one has to question deeply. So you have to look into that, you know. Prabhupada says, you know, we are not renouncer, neither we are enjoyer. So this is the point, that we are servants of Krishna. We are neither renouncer or neither enjoyer. So we are servants of Krishna. So one can serve Krishna with even little water and flour and light leaf. And one can serve Krishna with so much opulence also. Both are accepted. But the thing is, it's not that a person who is just offering water and this and that, Krishna is more pleased with that and he is not pleased with the rich person. Intention matters. I tell you one incident just recently happened. So my Guru Maharaj mentioned, you know, so I have Shaligram at home. So, he said, don't bring any more Shaligrams. Just one is enough. Because Shaligrams have tendency to bring their own friends, you know, along with them, one after another. So, it is not that I have more Shaligrams, then, you know, my devotion and my bhakti is increased more. You know, it is the quality and it is the consciousness with that you worship that even one Shaligram. That will make you advance. Rather than, you know, quantity. Right? So, contemplate and introspect yourself. And then you will come to the right answer that, you know, do I need to endeavor more and accumulate more? Right? And of course, expert devotees are always there to discuss. If there is particular thing, one can confidentially discuss with devotees and they will guide us. Sukhdev Prabhu, you want to mention something in this regard? Any inputs? Please.
I had a different question actually I was going to ask. So yeah, I was bit I didn't pay attention to the what was the one?
Prabhu's question was how do I know that I should stop here in terms of, you know, accumulating more? If I have desire to get better and bigger car or some other, like bigger house, so I can use for Krishna Seva. Should I endure more and achieve that or no? Like that.
In that context, I had a similar question, and you were mentioning about the Isopanishad you quoted, that everyone has got a quota.
Yes.
Another statement we hear that Krishna will provide everything, right? At the same time, I mean, how do we balance to say, okay, where is that? My karma is to get this much only, or this is it. Or, on the other hand, also we say we have to work. You can't just sit there and say, Krishna, something is going to come because of your karma. So okay. I had the same
same question.
Same question.
Okay. Because let me then talk about from my own experience here. I wish I can justify this question and make you all happy. See, I'm in the stage of life right now. I spent some years living in ashram, didn't accumulate so much, you know. Few years back only I got married. Now, married life means, you know, you have house, children, so many other responsibilities. So you need money. I'm in the position right now that, you know, materially I'm not, if I wasn't, let me put it in a different way. It's not that, you know, I actually look forward. And when I look back, the life I lived, serving Radha Vallabh in the temple, it was wonderful. You know, it was such a nice time. But here at this point of time in my life, I need wealth, right? Money to meet the basic ends, basic needs, as we discussed. And by Krishna's grace, I have, and my things are going well right now. Krishna has taken care very nicely, all despite of, you know, lack of proper local education and local work experience and, you know, so and so forth, so many things. But Krishna gave job and, you know, gave money, and life is moving on. Grihastha life is going all right. So many times thought comes, should I upskill myself? Should I study a little more? Should I explore a little more other options so I can earn more? And should I get house and this and that? You know, so many things come up. But then I conclude myself, and devotees also talk, you know, like, Prabhu, you should do this, you should do that, this and that, you know, you can set up your own business, you can this and that. But ultimately, I come to the conclusion that, you know, as far as my basic needs are concerned, they are well met. Whatever I am earning, just a single income, everything is taken care of. I get food, I get rent paid, and bills paid, and other aspects are also taken care of nicely. At the same time, my devotional life is also going reasonably well. My sadhana is going reasonably well. But what if I endeavor to upskill myself and go for better opportunities, go for second job, earn more money, this and that? I can see myself that I'll compromise in my bhakti, in my sadhana, definitely. I'll compromise with my health as well, definitely. So when you have bad health, when you don't have much time, because you are engaged in so many other things to accumulate money, without good health and without enough time, what bhakti I will do? And then I'm actually derailing myself from the goal of life that, you know, Sri Upanishad says. As a human being, so fortunate that actually out of so many people that I have been given opportunity, and, you know, I'm now misusing, and I'm actually given, I know that, but now knowingly I am turning away from that opportunity. You know, so then I don't pursue in that direction because I know my limitation. I know, but being said that, if you can do it, it's not that you know you shouldn't upskill yourself. You shouldn't look for better opportunity. You know, if you can do it, if it is your forte, you should do it. You know, you do more and more, earn more and spend more for Krishna. There is nothing wrong in that. But speaking to myself, I cannot do. If I try to do that, I'll compromise in my sadhana for sure, definitely. You know, so again, it's person to person where to stop and where to go little extra mile. It's person to person. Everyone has different capacity, different capability. One can do more. Anirudh Prabhu can manage, you know, whole temple and so many responsibilities he can take, and that's his aptitude, you know. It gives more thrill and more enthusiasm by doing what he is doing right now, you know. And for a person like me, you know, even, you know, some managerial responsibility comes, you know, I cannot handle. Right? So it's different to person, I would say. So this question you have said, it's again person to person. But check is, it is going to compromise your bhakti in any way? Are you going down in your daily sadhana, in your Krishna conscious life? Then stop there. Know that, you know, you are over endeavoring on that part. Does it sound correct? Logical? Anything else? Masya Mataji? Is that okay?
Yeah, it's very beautifully explained. Thank you so much. The thing is, it's had to see. You had to see. It's depending on the person. If someone is working too much, and if they are not working too much, they are not increasing their sadhana, or if they are not doing more so much seva at the temple, they can work too much. But if they are not working too much, even they are working moderate enough, if they are doing lots of sadhana, if they can increase, it's depending on, as you said, in individuals.
Yes.
Yeah, some people, they have the capacity to work, make more money. But if they don't work more money, they are not increasing their sadhana or seva too. Then they are good to go and work more money and give the money to Krishna.
Yes, what is the use? Yeah, and Prabhupada
yeah,
says,
yes,
you know,
yes. It's
the Ramanujacharya example he has given, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj he has given example of. So those caliber, the devotees of that caliber, they can do that much work.
Yes, yes.
It's not everyone's forte to do that
even
such work.
Even my
right?
sister and myself, sister, if she doesn't go to work, she gets bored. For me, no working, just 5-6 hours sleep, always I'm fully occupied. So it's depending on the person. If she is not going to work and if she can't do seva for Krishna, go to work is better. So it's individual by individual.
Yes.
They only the person knows. Others don't know. You can't even compare with other people because everyone is different. They all have human body, but everyone's capacity is completely different.
Yes.
Thank you so much. You beautifully explained. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Granthas Srimad Bhagavatam ki Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glorious assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Yeah. jaya gopal jaya jaya radha raman hari
Hare Govinda. Dashamati Nandana Rajabada Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana Yamati Nandana Rajabada Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana Dashamati Nandana Rajabada Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana Gokhi Parana Dhana Madana Manahara Kaliya Damana Vibhana Dashamati Nandana Vrajabhaja Nagara Dashamati Nandana Vrajabhaja Nagara Nandana Gopipanana Dhana Siparana Dhana Madana Manahara Kaliya Damana Vibhana Dashamati Nandana Vrajabhaja Nagara Mantri Madana Sumana
Gokula Ranjanaka.
padana manahara manahara aliya namana vidha rakshamati nandana brajabada nagara gokula sanyana rakshamati nandana brajabada nagara gokula samati nandana braja vada nagara gokula sanyana samati nandana Krishna
Dharma samasthapaka lokanam hitakarana bhuvane mannam sarunakaru Radha Krishna Radha Krishna Padaravindau Bhajanamitau Radha Krishna Padaravindau Bhajanamitau Vande Rupa Sanatanam Raghu Gaur Kiji Krishna Kitana Kala Natala Parau Prema Manidhi Sri Chaitanya Kripa Bharau Gobinda Bharanta Japau Vande Rupa Sanatana Gopi Bhava Samrita Abdala Hari
Hello, the Marana Mahan Mande Rupa Sanatana Ragadugal Sriji Bhago Vajaka.
Thank you. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
Hare Krishna